Good evening.
Good evening.
So, should we start?
I think so. Excuse me.
And do you want to start with 400? Do that one over?
Well, I just reread it. I think it's worth reading again. It's telling us Zot and Zeh are both metaphors for the covenant. But
right.
I think since the other verses following, I'm sure, is about that. So I think it would be good at least to read it.
Okay. So, L'shem Yehud Kutshab Rishu Ishkite Bid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yud He Bovate B'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayin Oam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananeihu. We're in section 36 of the Sulam commentary on the Zohar for Parsha Lech Lecha, Pasuk 400, which we did last week. So I'm not going to read the Aramaic, just the English translation. Another one then quoted, though a host should encamp against me, we have learned that in this, the Hebrew word Zot, I trust. What does Zot this refer to? And he answered, this is the sign of the covenant that always exists in a person and is hinted on high in Malchut called Zot. Therefore, it is written as Zot, just as it is also written, this, the Hebrew word Zot, is the sign of the covenant. And this is my covenant. All apply to the same grade, and we have learned Ze, the masculine form of this, and Zot, the feminine form of this, are both in the same grade and are not separated. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Even if a man does not guard the external brit, the internal brit is always perfect. What is the internal brit? And we discussed that last week. Does anybody have any comments to continue that discussion, or should we move on to 401?
I think move on.
It's going on to verse 401. Wa'i yitema ihake ashar b'nei alma hake amai David bilchodo v'la'achara ela begindi achida be'ya b'idramiz be'ya Lehu Kitra de Malchuta. The translation. You might say, if so, then the other people in the world are the same as David, as they can say, in this I trust, in this Zot I trust. So why was David the only one to say so, and nobody else as well? And he replied, because the grade of Zot is attached to David and appears in him, meaning that the name of David alludes to Malchut and is the crown of his kingdom. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Remember, Zeh, the male form of this, relates to Zeranpin. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I realize David belongs to Mel Coote, and but I don't remember him saying, "In this I trust."
It doesn't give the verse number, but it is in the Torah.
Okay.
It's in the book of Kings, I'm sure.
In the book of what?
Kings.
Kings, okay.
What this verse is explaining is that King David has Malchut attached to him.
Right.
Now, what that means, David has a gematria of 14. David is the chariot for Malchut.
Right.
14 has the number of digits, number of bones, essentially, in the hand. And the hand is a tool to manifest. Malchut is manifesting. So it's tied, all of this is tied together. And the word Zeh, which is the male form, is the Yesod of Zeranpin. And the previous verse was saying that Zeh and Zot are in the same grade. And in this verse, it's saying that Zeh is the crown of King David. Now, the crown is the Keter. Once you're hidden Malchut, the only continuity is to go to a new generation. So it's, there's nothing, if you have a tree and you bring the fruit on that tree, there's no way to go to another fruit. Unless you go to a new tree. And that's what this verse is really referring to, hinting to, and actually being very clear about. The crown of the male organ, Zeh, which is Yesod, is always connected to Malchut, which is King David. And that connection is always unified, but the male organ can be broken in that the crown stays in Malchut while the stem doesn't always stay in the Malchut. And what breaks it is human negative activity.
And that's also why he's the one of the Ushpazim, the last day of Sukkot. Or I should say Hoshana Rabbah.
On Hoshana Rabbah, we invite you to Ushpazim in all of the days. But on the seventh day, he becomes the primary characteristic of the Yuspizi, of the guests. Should I continue?
Yes, I think so.
I know somebody else arrived, but didn't announce themselves, so.
Oh, Brandy.
Tachatse begin de chai zot la netar lea. David malka ki kachaze. Malchuta itade minea kohahu. Zim na hake olif na hai zot itremiza. Malchuta Bilela Beit Remiza Birushlem Yerushalem Barta Kadisha. It's Be Yerushalem. The translation, come and see. First off, before I do the translation, I need to mention that this is verse 401. Excuse me, it's verse 402. The translation of the verse, come and see. Because King David did not preserve Zot properly, the kingship was taken away from him during all that time that he fought with Avshalom, his son. And so we have learned that this Zot is hinted in the upper kingdom and also in the holy city of Jerusalem. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. In what way did King David not preserve Zot? Was it the incident with Bathsheba? Zohar tells us there was no sin with Bathsheba. It is important to know which of the three Hebrew words is used in order to reconcile this confusion. The three words are a chet, or an avon, or a pesha. All three are translated as sins into English. Do you know the differences between them? Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm not sure I know the meanings of the different of the three.
Chet,
well,
is
yes,
a...
No.
You know what that is. Avon means a transfer of energy.
Okay.
And a pesha is a simple mistake. Let me rephrase that. It's actually the chet is the simple mistake. The pesha is a severe a very strong mistake where you are transforming the left column into the right column or vice versa.
Well, are there hinting here about with David and Bathsheba?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
Is it a hint of his encounter with Bathsheba?
Well, in what other area did King David not utilize the, not preserve the Zot? Was it with Abigail? Was it with Michal?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know his stories well enough from the Book of Kings to know that.
Well, it could be because of what he did to Uriah, which is linked to Bathsheba.
Yeah. The Zohar says that King David did not sin with Bathsheba.
Yeah, I know.
Because she was divorced from Uriah. But Uriah deserved the death penalty because King David told him to go into his wife to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused. And that is refusing an order of the king. So King David did send a message to put him in the front lines, hoping he would be killed, but he wasn't the cause of him being killed. He deserved the death penalty because he did not obey his king. So at this point,
his motivation was still not good.
Actually, it was. His motivation was to be with his cosmic soulmate. That's something that people find it extremely difficult to refuse.
But it wasn't up to him to be the one to execute that.
To execute what? Being with Bathsheba or execute Uriah?
With Uriah, sending him out to the battlefield. I mean, if they were soulmates, Hashem would have seen to it.
He was already out in the battlefield. He was already in the battlefield. He came back for one night to give a message to King David. And King David said, go into your wife and take comfort. Uriah said, if my mates can't do that, I won't. And so he disobeyed the order of his king. So King David wrote a letter that told the general to put him in the front lines. But the issue of whether Uriah was going to die was not up to King David. Even if he put him in the front lines, not everybody in the front lines died. The reason he died was, on one level, it was time for Bathsheba to be married to King David. And while she was married to Uriah loved her and would have felt too much pain if he'd been forced to divorce her. So the other alternative when a soulmate marriage is to take place, either the divorce needs to take place or the other man has to die. So that's why there is no sin involved in what he did. Now you're saying he's not a nice person because he wanted her, but his wanting of her was something that he could not, no man can control wanting their cosmic mates. But you're still uncomfortable with it, right?
Well, I just think about the prophet that came to him and told him what he had done. And actually, I mean, it's staring me in the face. The next verse said, when David said with Bathsheba. Now, I know years ago when we went to a summer, it was right after we converted. We took our vacation and went to Houston for a week of Chabad classes, and this was the first time I heard about how it was not considered sin because, you know, we're going to war and all. I mean, I've known the story for a long time, but I do know what the Zohar has been trying to tell us, that if you break the covenant, then kingship is taken away from you. And if that verse just said that because he didn't preserve the covenant, the kingship was taken away from him. So I always consider it to be he was following the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. And everything that you just said.
There has to be another incident earlier having to do with him not preserving the bris. Mm-hmm. And that's why his son Absalom rebelled.
Okay, so you don't think it was with Bathsheba, you think it was with. I know with Abigail, her husband had died. You know, she went out with food and all because her husband
right.
was against David. With Michal,
it was probably with Michal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he probably had a son with her. I think she was the mother of Absalom. I'm not sure. Or maybe it was the sin of the brother, the son that went into to the daughter and
right.
raised the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because he allowed that to happen and then let the son off. So there's a number of incidents in the Book of Kings having to do with sexuality related to King David.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, we may find out in the next verse.
Right. Could it also just be spilling of seed?
Yes, it can be spilling of seed. It could be that, before he was king, he might have spilled seed. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Or when he saw Bathsheba bathe on the rooftop. Oh, well, let's go to the next verse. Maybe we'll find out.
Verse 403. Ha'ushata did David avar aleya nifakala v'amar David b'me de'it kadrat ishterei lach hardin mirushalayim umalkuta itade minach menal diktiv Pini mekim alecha ra'a mi beitcha daika v'hake hawa v'med yavar be'ya itanash u'ma David malka hake she'ar b'nei alma Alachat kama wikama. The translation, when David sinned with Bathsheba, a voice went forth and said, David, you are to be disjoined as you shall be banished from Jerusalem. And the kingship shall be taken away from you, from that with which you were united, namely Zot, which alludes to Malchut, and to Jerusalem. How do we know this? From the verse, Behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. That's a verse from the book of Samuel. Actually, your own house, his own house, which is the secret of the Nukva, that is called Zot. And the evil mentioned in the verse refers to his separation from her. And so he was punished for having sinned because he did not preserve the grade of Zot, which is the secret of the covenant. He was separated from her. And if David was punished so, even more so the rest of the world. Now, he was separated from her means he was being separated from Malchut. Now, let's see what my commentary is. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, it uses the word het as a sin spoken by David. So it was something he said . Do you want to look up that verse?
I don't have anything. I was thinking the other day I was going to start bringing my tablet that I have a Tanakh in it, and that I'm too far away from my for I can't get to it because I got too many boxes between now and from here to the bookshelf, so I can't look it up.
Okay, I'll look it up. We have a few minutes.
But I'm sure that's where the whole story is, probably in Samuel as well as Kings. Well, if it's words, it could be what he had to say about sending Uriah.
Well, I looked it up, not that verse, but in God we trust, and it's in 2 Samuel, verse 22:3. It says, "The God of my rock, and him will I trust."
Thank you, Brandy. And I'm looking up now chapter 12, verse 13. When you looked it up, were there things around it?
No, I just Googled it.
Okay.
I Googled.
In God I trust, you know, would be every time he was being chased or by Saul or whatever. I mean, he was always asking for salvation, for deliverance, you know. Which is from struggles. So I'm not so sure that particular verse.
Well, it says there's 134 passages with that idea, in God we trust. So pick one.
The 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, David says unto Nathan, "I have sinned, being a het against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord has also put away your sin," using the same of the word het.
Mm-hmm.
"Thou shalt not die." And that is dealing with the issue of Bathsheba. And as the Zohar says, he didn't sin. And that's what Samuel was saying to him. I mean, Nathan was saying to him. Let me look at some of the other verses around that. Okay, so it's Nathan comes to King David and says, he's prophesying, because you took the wife of Uriah to be your wife, the Lord is saying, "I will raise up evil from within your own house, and I will take thy wives from before thine eyes and give them unto your neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. The sun being the actual S-U-N in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And the sin was because thou did it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun, S-U-N. And then David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this, by this deed, you have greatly blasphemed. So let's see, what's the word? You have blasphemed the enemies of the Lord. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And that's why the child of the union of Bathsheba and David died.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan departed from the house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore unto David. And it was very sick. So it doesn't even say he died. So, but I believe he did die.
Yes, he did. You remember he fasted, hoping that the child would live, and then he just immediately got up and changed his countenance. One thing with what you read was how he admitted in front of Nathan that he had sinned.
So right.
He didn't try to hide it. And it
but he did try to hide it from Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you in verse 18, and it came to pass that on the seventh day that the child died.
Okay.
He was very quick to admit he had done something that he shouldn't have. And then he fasted for the child and forgiveness. And I think that was Teshuva. So Hashem forgave him. And he was forgiven. And the kingdom eventually restored to him, but he forever had the household of his household coming against him almost all his life.
Correct.
I still think it goes back to the idea that this idea of spiritual, the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. And technically, there was a bill of divorcement. And technically, he was the king. But then I remember Nathan even gave him the example of him stealing a lamb, gave him an analogy of what he had done.
Right. He had said, he asked what was the punishment for somebody who stole the lamb of, somebody who only had one lamb. When the man was wealthy, he used that analogy, and that's why King David accepted the rebuke and understood what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. And then God did bless them both with Solomon after that, so. It's another example of Teshuva.
Correct. All right. We're out of time.
Okay, that was interesting.
You have a good evening, and we'll do the Aries tonight.
Okay.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.